Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come once more to contemplate the death of your son, for many of us it's very familiar. So we pray that your spirit will open our hearts and minds as we consider it afresh, as we seek to apply it in our own lives, and as we seek to live it out. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My parents came from Italy in the 1950s. And when they arrived in Australia, they worked. They worked very hard. After they married and had two children, they kept working. Dad worked during the day and Mum worked during the evening. Why were they working so hard? Well, they wanted to buy a house, which they did. And when they did buy the house, they got a mortgage and they wanted to pay the mortgage off as quickly as possible. They taught their sons not to owe anything to anyone. Do not go into debt for anything. If you don't have the money, they said, don't buy it. The only debt they would ever accept was the debt of a mortgage, and that had to be paid off sooner rather than later. Debt is a big problem in Australian society as people use credit cards to buy what they want and then, of course, try to pay them off. I remember one person I worked with used one credit card to pay off another credit card and then had another credit card to try to pay off that credit card. And, of course, you can imagine the confusion that caused. Australia has one of the highest ratios of household debt in the world. No one likes being in debt, especially when everything is taken away from you if you don't do the repayments. What has that got to do with us this morning? Well, we gather this morning especially to remember the death of Christ. Some churches go to elaborate lengths to make it morbid and sad. They want to recreate the sadness and the loss. But we live on the other side of the death of Jesus. We live on the side of the resurrection, the ascension, and the reign of Jesus. So how should we remember the death of Christ? Well, we should remember the death of Christ with thanksgiving and with awe, as we consider what Jesus Christ faced on the cross, the wrath of God against the sins of the world. So this morning, I would like to encourage you to consider one aspect of the death of Christ, and that is Jesus paid our debt, a debt that we could never have paid. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 paints a very clear picture of what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago. He said, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The Lord Jesus is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. We are told that he took our pain, bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was punished so that we could have peace. And by his wounds we are healed. So why did Jesus do that? Why did he bear all that for us? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 3 that there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There it is. We have fallen short of the mark. What's the mark? We've failed to glorify God as he deserves and as we should. The Lord Jesus lived the life that we could never live and never really want to live. He glorified God in everything. Everything he did and everything he said. We owe God as our creator and the one who gives us life and gives us every good thing that we enjoy in this life. We owe him honor and praise, obedience and love. But we refuse. We refuse to honor him. We reject him having anything to do in our lives. So the only thing that God owes us is justice. So when we read that Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled and said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He was talking about what he had to face at the cross, which was the justice of God. the justice of God against your sin and my sin. When he faced the cross, he was so overwhelmed. Sorry, as he faced the cross, he was so overwhelmed that he prayed three times. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. We need to understand that he was facing more than death. He was facing God's wrath against the sins of the world. That's why in Luke's account, we read, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This was not a man who was facing his own death, but a man facing death and condemnation that others deserved. See, many people see God as simply someone who accuses them of wrongdoing, someone who keeps a record of all their mistakes. That is not God, but it is us. Recently, we had a couple come over and have dinner with us, and they're very involved with China. The wife actually is Chinese, and has a lot to do with Chinese students studying in Canberra, high school students, that is. And every year she has to travel to China to do parent and teachers interviews. How's that, teachers? You want to go? That'll be an interesting experience. Well, talking about life in China, she informed us that the Chinese authorities record everything that people do publicly. There is a lot of CCTV cameras in China with the main aim of capturing you doing something wrong. And the system's very sophisticated, and it has advanced facial recognition software. So if you do anything wrong, it's recorded against you, and depending on what you've done, you could be fined or imprisoned. And of course, your score keeps going up as you do more mistakes. Imagine having such a record available to government bodies. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? In our first year in Canberra, we travelled back to Griffith. And on our return, I received an infringement notice. I'd gone over the speed limit at Gold Creek. 5 kilometres. Let's be a bit of grace here, but not with the law. I paid it. I moved on. I mean, I did my time, didn't I? And when I went to renew my license a few years ago, I was told because of my infringement notice, I could not get the discount. I know. I think that was very I was punished twice. Never happens in New South Wales, I can tell you that much. Imagine if going into shops or registering for some sports club or social club, or even enrolling your children if you have them into school, you could be denied entry. Or maybe, you get charged double because of that infringement notice. That's a terrible way to live. How would you feel? Well, some people see God like that, keeping score, recording sins. And if that's what God is like, what hope do we have? Well, this same lady also told us how she had grown up in China under Mao and during the Cultural Revolution. Times were tough and many people were imprisoned and died in prison. She told us that her grandfather was arrested and in prison, but sadly, he died in prison. Now, you would think that that would be the end of it. Not in China. If you do not complete your sentence, then someone in your family must complete it for you. So her father was arrested and in prison to complete his father's sentence. Her mother decided to follow her husband, and so she was raised by her grandmother. And to this day, this is still the normal practice in China. Someone in your family, if you do not complete the punishment inflicted upon you by the state, has to complete it. Now, this happens, of course, within family units. So you can understand that it would be a sense of obligation on the family to do this. But God owes us nothing. We've made our choices, and we have to face up to the consequences. Now, we may not believe that there is a God. We may not believe that there's a judgment day. We may not even believe in hell. But we can't say that we are ignorant of what God's word says about people who reject him. and live their lives the way they want without God. But God doesn't demand that someone in your family do something about your debt and my debt. He does something about it himself. What the Bible says is that God, who owes us nothing, sent his Son into the world to live the life that we could never live and die the death that we could never die. But God did this while we were still enemies, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And also, God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did all this while we were still enemies, while we wanted to have nothing to do with him. As the Apostle John tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So God is not a God who keeps scores of all that you've done wrong. But he is a God who became like one of us, took our place, totally completing our sentence that we deserve so that you and I could go free. Free to have a loving relationship with the God who created us and saves us. God is the God who pays our debt, a debt that we could never pay off because it would take eternity. He pays it for us by giving up his own life. So Good Friday shows us the character of God. Good Friday shows us the love of God. Good Friday shows us the commitment of God. Yes, it's sad, it's tragic that the only way that God could deal with our debt was for him to die in our place. But Good Friday is a time when we can praise and worship our God, the God who serves us by paying our debt. But because of Good Friday, those of us who claim to believe in Jesus still owe God a debt. What is it? Well, Jesus was having lunch one day with some religious people, and during the lunch, a woman came in and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. Everyone was shocked because of the type of woman she was, but Jesus told this story. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon, one of the guys, replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." That's the question that we as Christians face every Good Friday. Well, this is the question that we as Christians face every Good Friday. How much do we value Christ's death for us? Are we the person who loves much or little? Are we the person who considers my debt to be little, insignificant, or much? We owe God a debt of love because of what he's done for us. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus Christ has paid the debt. And it has been credited to your account if this morning you have accepted him. This Good Friday, if your debt is still outstanding, then Jesus invites you to accept him so that your ledger will be in the black, so that your debt will be wiped clean. Remember what the song said, you know, my debt is paid. It's paid in full. That's right. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was someone out there who would wipe every debt of yours forever? Would you not accept his offer? Well, I urge you this Good Friday to accept Jesus' offer and walk out this morning free from debt. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you have paid our debt, a debt that we could never pay in our wildest dreams. We thank you for your willingness to face judgment, wrath, condemnation, so that we could go free. It is a Good Friday. And we thank you that by your grace we can call it a Good Friday. And we pray that every single person in this room have embraced Christ. That every single person in this room, as they walk out this morning, will walk out free from debt. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.